Well, good morning. Good morning. Margaret and I are delighted to be here with you again. It's been a while, so it's nice to come back. I grew up on the North Shore many years ago, so I'm still a shore boy at heart, so it's always lovely to come back. One of the things I do in my spare time is I teach at Grace Theological College. So I'm here today with a little commercial. Our second semester begins on the 19th of July, and I've left some of these on the back table for you, just to let you know what the courses are that are being offered. And this semester we are offering a systematic theology course on the church and end times, and we're offering a New Testament biblical theology survey. We're also offering Hebrew, anyone who wants to study biblical Hebrew. And we are offering a church history course in Christianity in Aotearoa. And we're offering a course in marriage and family counselling, which is be an outstanding course for couples to do together. And all these courses are being offered in the evening classes at Grace College in Manurewa. Or you can do it online and be part of our virtual classroom. So I know you're all very, very excited at that prospect. So I'll leave these up there for you to examine at your leisure. Well, this morning we're looking in Luke chapter 15. Commonly referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. But this morning I'd like to take a slightly different perspective on this parable. And I'd like to put the focus rather on the man, the father, the one who had two sons. As Jesus said in verse 11, there was a man who had two sons. So let's make the man, the father, the focus of the parable. And the two sons become the means by which we see the welcoming heart of the father. Across the gates of heaven, there will be a banner of welcome for us. A banner that will say, "Welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter." And standing under the banner will be the father who is the focus of our welcome home. The one who brings our salvation to completion with a banquet of welcome. And it's a welcome of invitation we are to share with others. Hence the title of the sermon this morning, Sharing the Father's Welcome. Well, let's first consider the welcoming grace of the father toward his younger son. It was a welcome of pure grace. When you consider the unworthiness of this young man. Contrary to Israel's laws of inheritance, he went to his father and he said, "Father, it's a pity you're still alive because I would like to have my inheritance now. In fact, if you are dead, I could have my inheritance now." And the father said, "Well, I'm still alive, son, but however, I'll give you your inheritance." And so we're told there at the end of verse 12, he divided his property between them. His whole property was divided between these two sons because he was a man who had two sons. And the younger son sold up his share of the property, converted it all into coins that could clink together in a bag, and he could pull the string on the bag and hang it on his belt, and he was ready to go. He was ready for some real living. He was ready to spend. And so he went to a far country. He went to a distant country. He went as far away from his father's house as he could get. The further the better. He went to a Gentile country. And now he was ready for some real living. And he had enough money to make his life really happen. Then when there was no money left, and there was no food, and there were no friends, and he was in a far country, it was then that the famine struck. He had nothing. He had nobody. He was employed by a Gentile in an unclean business feeding pigs. Now his alienation from his father's house is complete. And no one gave him anything. There was no compassion. There was no kindness. There was no act of mercy. His desolation overwhelmed him. And then he remembers the meals in his father's house. His hunger brought him to his senses. He acknowledged his sin. He was totally unworthy, and he knows it. There's nothing glamorous about this testimony. He was starving, and he's all alone. And the only conclusion that came to his heart was, I have to go home. I've got to go home. But going home means meeting his father. So he rehearses the meeting. He rehearses what he's going to say to his father when he sees him. See in verse 19. Verse 18. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So now he was ready. So he set off back home. Now we come to the focus of this parable. The focus is on the father's welcome. While the young man was a long way off, his father saw him, and the father was filled with compassion for his lost son. So he gathered up his robes, and in a most undignified fashion, he ran. He ran and embraced the filthy swineherd and covered that alien's face with his kisses. The form of the verb in verse 20 is in the intensive, which means he didn't just kiss him once. He kissed him again and again and again. He kissed him repeatedly. Unbelievable grace for such an unworthy son. The father interrupts the boy's confession. He only gets started on his rehearsed speech. Bring the robe of honor. Bring the ring of sonship. Bring shoes for my son. He shall not go barefoot like a servant. Prepare the feast of welcome. Show him off to his neighbors. The son who was dead is alive again. The son who was lost is found. Here is the triumph of joy. Here is complete readoption. Here forgiveness is total. Here grace is overflowing. Grace overwhelms the confession. Grace interrupts the confession. Such is the father's heart of welcome that he wants to take this confessing heart and fill it up immediately, straightway, with grace, forgiveness, adoption, reception, blessing. The son that was lost is found. The son that was dead is alive. He welcomed as one. It was a fountain of joy that cannot be kept. The love this father has for his son. Well, there were other fathers in Scripture who exhibited a similar love for their sons. Consider Abraham and Isaac, that long-awaited son, the son that God told Abraham to sacrifice. And as Abraham set about obeying God's command, he reasoned that God could raise the dead. And the only way that God could fulfill his promises to Abraham and his descendants was if he raised Isaac from the dead, and we're told in Hebrews 11 that he did, as it were, receive Isaac back from the dead. The one who was dead is alive again. and restored to his father's heart and to his father's home. Consider Jacob and Joseph, that beloved son. And Jacob was told that his beloved son was probably dead, torn to pieces by wild animals. And he wept and mourned for days and could not be comforted. And then many, many years later, unbelievably, in the land of Egypt, he saw his son, as it were, alive from the dead. And their prolonged embrace and weeping that went on and on was all that Jacob had lived for all those years. And now he was able to say, I'm ready to die. I have seen my son. What about David and Absalom? Absalom was an unworthy son. Absalom raised an army in order to steal from his father his throne. And so David's army and Absalom's army met in battle. And David, who was an older man by now, stayed back in the palace, and he was awaiting news, but he wasn't interested in knowing who had won the battle. He wasn't interested in knowing if his throne was safe and secure. There's only one thing he wanted to know, and he waited for the messengers to come. And finally they came. And David asked the only question that he wanted to hear the answer to: what of that young man? What of my son Absalom? And the reply was, my lord the king, may all your enemies be as that young man, dead on the field of battle. David was inconsolable. Such was his love for an unworthy son. My son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. O Absalom, my son, my son. Such was the love of a father for an unworthy son. And this, my friends, is the welcome of heaven. The joy of a father's love springing from a heart of forgiveness for all who come. Well, it's a welcome that the elder brother was called upon to share. To share the father's welcome for his younger brother. The elder brother was on his way home from the field after a day's work, I guess. And he heard the party and he saw the house rocking and the lights were on. And perhaps the thought occurred to him, there hasn't been a party like that since my younger brother left home. And sure enough, a servant confirmed it all. And the elder brother was furious. He would not go in. He would not share his father's welcome. He despised his younger brother. He despised his father's joy. He wants the younger brother thrown out. This is not the time for party and joy. This is the time for punishment and retribution. Besides, the inheritance has been divided. That no good brother of mine is wearing my robe, my ring, my sandals, and he's eating my fatted calf. My father had no right to give these things to him. It's all too much. It's all far too much. And his rage overwhelmed him. You see, the older brother had no understanding of the father's heart. He resents the love the father has for his prodigal brother. So, which son now is far from the father's love? Which son now is far from the father's house? The one standing out there in the darkness, or the one inside as a guest of honor? Which son is now far from the father's love? The one close at hand refusing to go in is further away from the Father than the one repenting in a pig pen in a far country. Then the door opens. You see that in verse 28? So the Father went out and pleaded with him. The door opens. The door opens. You see, there was a man who had two sons. He had two sons. So down the path the father came again. This time to his other son. This time to plead with an enraged elder son who was also lost. To beseech him to come into the feast. The lights are on. The feasting has begun. He must come in. What a magnificent picture of the Father's love. Not only to a starving and repentant son, but to a self-righteous and resentful son. Because you see, he had two sons. And he's a father whose heart was filled with compassion, who comes again and again to seek and to save every son that is lost. Every son must be found, because every seat in the Father's house must be filled. And only then will the door be shut. And those left outside in the darkness, there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, but the door is not yet shut. The door is not yet shut. You can see it open and the light coming out and the party inside and the lights are on and there's the Father coming down the path into the darkness to beseech his son to come in. You see, it's not too late. It's not too late for the elder brother to share in the Father's joy. It's not too late for the elder brother standing out there in the darkness to join his unworthy brother at the Father's table. He too must come in. He too is unworthy. He too had only wanted the Father's money. In his heart, he had never come home to a father's love. He refused to soften his stony heart towards a repentant brother. He despised his father's heart of love, grace, and welcome. He refused to share the father's welcome. What should the older brother have done? What should the older brother have done? Well, he should have been glad that his brother was home. He should have gone in to the welcome home party. Perhaps he should have set aside the fatted calf in preparation for his brother's homecoming. He should have been watching, knowing and understanding the love of his father's heart for the lost son. He should have been the one to run and greet his brother. He should have done all these things. What else should the older brother have done? What else should the older brother have done? Well, this is the third of three parables here in Luke chapter 15. In the first parable, one sheep of 100 is lost, and there is a search, and it's found, and there's a party. In the second parable, one coin of 10 is lost, and there's a search, and it's found, and there's a party. In the third parable, one brother of one is lost, and there's no search. There's no search. The elder brother does nothing. He does nothing and won't even eat with his brother when he is found. What would a true elder brother have done? What would a true elder brother have done? Well, a true elder brother would not have despised his brother, but would have loved him. A true elder brother would have said to the father, "Father, I will go and search for my brother that's lost and bring him home." A true elder brother would have been prepared to spend his whole inheritance in the search for his brother. He would have been prepared to travel to that far country. he would have found his brother among the pigs. And willing to be unclean himself, he would have climbed into the pig pen, put his arm around his brother and said, come home with me. Come home with me to a father's love. That's what a true elder brother would have done. He would have searched until he had found him and brought him home. Don't we all need an elder brother like that? Don't we all need an elder brother like that? Where is Jesus in this parable? You ever wondered about that? Well, he's hiding in plain sight. He's the one telling the parable. And he's telling it to a certain group of people in verse 2 of chapter 15. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus was accused by the Pharisees of eating with sinners. They despised the people that Jesus welcomed and ate with. They had no understanding of the Father's heart, you see. The Pharisees are the elder brother in this story. The Pharisees refused to search. They despised the unworthy brother and resented the welcoming grace of the Father. You see, standing behind the false elder brother in this story is the true elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to seek. To seek. Who comes to seek and to save those who are lost and bring them to the Father's house that there might be a party and joy and celebration. Jesus Christ is the true elder brother who understands the heart of the Father and the depth of his Father's compassion. You see, all of the inheritance of the Father's house belongs to Jesus. Yet he did not cling to any of it. He gave it all up to seek us out, and it cost him everything. So he left his Father's house. And he travelled to a far country. And he climbed into our pig pen to bring us home to a father's welcome. In doing so, he was alienated and cut off from the Father's house. He became unclean for our sakes, as he was nailed to that cursed cross for our sakes. He bore the sin of all us prodigals because he understood the Father's heart of love toward us. His love and forgiveness for unworthy sons and daughters. Now the feast of welcome has been prepared. It's not a welcome with a fatted calf, but with the body of our elder brother. This was the price the Father was willing to pay. You see, such is the Father's love that he was ready not only to forgive, but also ready to pay, and the Father himself paid the price to bring the lost sons back by giving up his own beloved Son of Heaven, the price the Father was willing to pay in order to bring back and redeem and ransom and save the ones that were lost. Such was the love of the Father's heart. And now Jesus sings for joy in our midst as he invites us to come home to a father's love. Well, isn't that a wonderful story? Well, what about us this morning? Have we come home to a father's love? Have we? Have we come with repentance and sorrow to the Father's welcome? We with a heartfelt prayer, Father, I am sorry for the ways that I've turned against you and gone against your commands, and the way I've sought the pleasures of this world instead of finding my joy in you. Thank you that Jesus Christ died for me. Thank you that you sent Jesus to search for me and to find me and to pay the price for me. Father, please forgive my sins. Please forgive my sins today and grant me the gift of your Holy Spirit so that I could live to enjoy your heart and your welcome. Or perhaps you have a Christian friend or parent or spouse or child who has been wanting to put their arm around you and bring you home to a father's welcome of joy, because they understand the Father's heart of love. But perhaps more particularly, there may be people that you need to put your arm around and remind them of a Father's welcome for any who come home. Well, now's the time to do just that. And how do we do that? How do we share the Father's welcome with our unbelieving friends and family members? Well, whether it's an actual arm around their shoulder or just a spoken one, we begin by stepping into their suffering with empathy and understanding, by being moved with compassion enough to climb in to the pig pen. Maybe it's not a pig pen, but whatever it is, it's their situation. It's their circumstances of suffering or anxiety or fearfulness or guilt or shame. Whatever it is that they're feeling, you step into their lives, you step into their heart, you step into their world, and you say, I am here. I'm standing with you. I'm not going anywhere. You're not alone in this. Do that with your non-Christian friend or family member. You see, so you begin to love them in a way that builds a bridge that's strong enough to bear the weight of gospel truth. Because you see, we have a common humanity with our unbelieving friends, and we all suffer and get discouraged and lose heart, so we can identify with them. Perhaps remind them that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and here's our basis of hope in a world that appears out of control. Or perhaps you could remind them that Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again, as a basis of hope in a despairing world, a hope that leads all the way to the Father's house, to his welcome of love and forgiveness. With whom will you share the Father's welcome this week? I would encourage you to make a list of just a few names and start praying and saying, Father, give me the opportunity to put my arm around this person, to stand with them on whatever they're going through, so I can talk to them about your welcoming heart. And to see what God does with that. See how he moves in wonderful ways in both your life and theirs. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are overwhelmed when we are faced once again with your grace that is too much. Too much for hearts that know themselves to be unworthy, and yet the joy of your welcome into your presence with our Lord Jesus Christ to bring us home, Father, is indeed a joy. And for each of us this morning, Father, we pray that joy would be real and would fill our hearts. And Father, you'd give us the opportunity to share the joy of that welcome with others. We thank you that Jesus has brought us home, that he sought us out and gave up everything. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for our Lord Jesus. We thank you in his name. Amen.